Next is myself presenting this talk, and after this talk is also me. So if you are tired of listening to me, I'm sorry about that. So today I'm going to talk about the detection of a QTL for soluble solid content at the University of Florida Strawberry Breeding Program using pedigree-based analysis. And I'm trying to climb the ladder of genome with this double helix ladder and trying to find some jewels. This is a kind of overall picture of how the weather conditions look like in Florida. These are four different years, and what I'm trying to point out here is in January and February, the temperatures kind of goes close to below 60. So January and February is the time when the temperature is kind of low in from rest of the months. So we get lower temperature, and that influences the quality, fruit quality of the fruit as well. So this is the general distribution of temperature conditions in the season from October to March. Experimental design that I'm going to talk about is the whole data set is split into two different sections. One is discovery section, another one is validation section, and both are pedigree connected. In the discovery section, there are two different trials in 2013-14 and 14-15. It's a replicated trials for almost around 600 individuals each. And in validation population, we have four different trials. There's overlap for 2 years, but the validation population has a more replication than discovery, and each one represents more than 200 individuals pedigree connected for the discovery as well as validation of the QTL. This is sort of general kind of framework that we follow at the UF, and where we first send our sample DNA samples to Affymetrix for ISTRO90 and ISTRO35 array genome scan, and we get the genotypic data. We incorporate phenotypic data and perform some QTL quality control. We look at the very carefully the parent-child relationship and try to find out true-to-type child and the parents. We check phenotypic data, and then we use FlexQTL to conduct QTL analysis and IBD analysis, then sort of validate the QTL over different iterations of runs, and then do the haplotyping using PEDI haplotyper software. So the trait, soluble solids content, this is the phenotypic distribution of the trait, and if you look at the two discovery and the four validation trials, the validation trial, as we move from discovery to validation, it kind of shifts from lower to higher end, which makes sense because all the validation populations are a kind of selection made by the breeders, Dr. Vance Whitaker. So we expect it to be a better fruit quality attributes. So before actually I go into the analysis, it's a general, what Dr. Vance Whitaker has noticed and all the breeders have noticed is there is a relationship between yield and the flavor. If breeder or the farmers, they want higher yield, the flavor quality goes kind of down. And if you want more flavor, then the yield is affected. So there is a sort of negative relationship between these two. And we observed this in our trial as well. So what I did is I did a normal correlation between the two discovery and the four validation between yield and the soluble solids. And I also observed the normal a negative correlation between soluble solids and yield in all the six trials. So now I'm going to take you to in the discovery section and see what I found for the QTL analysis and the haplotyping and all kind of results in discovery section. So I did the QTL analysis for the two discovery populations, and I found beautiful QTLs on different chromosomes, but I'm glad that I found a QTL on 6A on both years, which was consistent in 2 years, and the base factor of 8 and base factor of 17. Base factor is like same as the log value that you see in normal QTL papers. And we found some other minor QTLs, but that was not consistent over years. And the reason why I'm focusing on 6A is because it has been previously reported as well. So I focused on this is a chromosomal view of the QTL. The QTL is between 7 to 17 centimorgan, and the QTL that was reported previously was by Lars Setuakholer at that was close to 55 centimorgan distance. So this is a different QTL that we found in Florida germplasm. And I used Pedi Haplotyper and Flex QTL software to get the haplotypes for this QTL. So I found 10 different haplotypes, and this is a kind of a schematic diagram, all the sequence of the haplotypes and the diversity. So we found 10 different haplotypes, and the top six haplotypes represents more than a kind of 80% of the diversity. And what I did next is I used this QTL allele haplotype information to construct the QTL genotype so that I can get the complete information of the locus for each of the individual. And I did a normal ANOVA analysis that everybody does using the QTL genotypes. So in x-axis, you have the genotypes, the two haplotypes, and the y-axis, the scaled and centered soluble solid content for the discovery population. It explained 13% of the variation, and the model was significant. So there were certain diplotypes that were significantly higher than the others. And I did the same thing for the yield. For the discovery population, the model was not significant. Explained around 9% of the phenotypic variation. But what I would like you to just notice is this 10 bars here for the yield and for the SSC. So SSC goes down, yield kind of goes up. So there is a negative correlation, that's what I'm trying to point out. Now I'm jumping to the validation population for the similar analysis that I used for chromosome 6A QTL. So this was the pie chart for the diversity of the discovery population, and I found the similar diversity in the four different validation population combined. So there was not major difference. Still, the first six haplotypes captures more than almost like 80% or more than 80% of the genetic variation. And for validation population, the ANOVA model explained around 26% of the phenotypic variation for SSC using the QTL genotypes. And for yield, it explained even more than that. It explained about 38% of the variation. So we knew that the QTL locus, we didn't know that this QTL locus will also influence yield as well as SSC, but after doing all this analysis, we have realized that this QTL encompasses the trade-off between yield and SSC as well. So now I'm going to discuss some more potential innovative creative ways that we can use to actually maximize the SSC and the yield in breeding program. So far, we have discussed the standard protocol, but there are some other ways that I'm exploring at UF. The first one is normal. Any breeder will do. They will throw all the data and then look at the most extreme phenotypes, like in here in the northeast quadrant. You can find all the individuals and you can see all the genotypes, and we can see which are the individuals and the genotypes giving you the extreme phenotypes, and we can select those for next generation. We can also do family-wise relationship. In this, you'll see each family, the relationship between yield and SSC for each family. In general, because I know there is a negative correlation, but what this allowed me to do is to identify certain families that still has positive correlation embedded in this cluster of data. For example, here in family 13-1, that has a 0.91 correlation with highly significant p-value. So this gives an idea how we can change the analysis to identify some good population that has a positive relationship for these two traits. The other way is to QTL genotype-wise relationships, where we can jumble all the genotypes which has the same QTL genotype, all the individuals which has same QTL genotypes, and we can look at the correlation here for QTL genotype H7 and H8. Still, it's a high correlation, although it's a 0.05 p-value, but it still gives an idea how we can explore the data set differently to find some good correlation between these two traits. I am also exploring a haploblocking approach where I look at the pattern of the non-random genetic association of alleles where in the QTL region. So there are 22 markers, and I'm trying to see if there is a specific marker that can explain either one of the traits or both the traits together. We are also exploring genomic selection approach, where we are using the QTL genotype as a fixed effect, and if this QTL is explaining more than 10%, so according to literature, we can incorporate this in the GS model. So with that, the summary is we have identified a novel SSC QTL in UF strawberry breeding program, which explains around 13-26% of the variance. This QTL allele encompasses the trade-off between SSC and yield, which kind of we expected. And there are some creative ways that we can explore to maximize the gain for SSC and yield together, which are cluster analysis, family-wise relationships, QTL genotype-wise relationship, haploblock allele analysis, and genomic selection models. With that, I would like to acknowledge my team members and like to thank all the funding agencies. I would like to take questions. Just probably one question. Yes, Cameron.
Do you have an association?
Yeah, that's actually a very good question. We actually did. We analyzed the yield data itself. The question was, did I analyze the yield data for the QTL analysis like I did for SSC, and did I find the similar QTL or QTL next to the SSC? So yes, I did, and we did find a few QTLs, but that was not consistent across the two trials, and they were spread not very close to SSC QTL at all. We also tried to scale the data, so we multiplied the SSC with the yield data, and we also connected QTL analysis so that we can find a locus that probably captures information from both traits, and we didn't find any information consistent over 2 years. So that's what we did.